Good morning.
Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. My name is Kim Transier. My pronouns are she and her. And it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and I serve as minister to this absolutely wonderful, fantastic, loving congregation. And I just wanted to let you know that every one of you is welcome here. You're welcome no matter who you are. You're welcome no matter who you love. You're welcome whether you've been coming here today for the very first time and sit among all of these lovely people, or if you've been coming to this congregation for 50 years. You are welcome no matter what your gender is or how you choose to express it. You are welcome whether you come this morning with so much joy in your heart, or whether you come with a broken heart. Everyone is welcome here. In some religious traditions, they say that the gods created people to bear witness to the gods' creation. For the gods could not bear to play to an empty theater. We come together this morning to remember this calling, to remember to pay attention to the glory of the world and to celebrate it, and to remember to pay attention to each other and the spark of creation and wonder in each of us. So I would like to introduce the Accord Choir. If you would like to stand up, you can, otherwise we will be seeing them later. And we're very lucky to have this guest choir with us this morning. They're an auditioned a cappella group composed of transgender, non-binary, and other gender non-conforming musicians. Their name, Accord, means to be in harmony, which is very apt for a choir. But more critically, it means to grant power. Through musical outreach to the local community, Accord strives to assure that transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming people are seen. They are brilliant, and they have power.
Thank you.
A black trans woman was a rock and roll musician who lived in Boston. She was a well-loved patron, both of transgender-friendly clubs and straight bars. According to all reports, Rita was a shining star, elegant, larger than life. One person described her as glamorous and a sister diva friend with attitude, sassiness, and style. Everyone in the local trans and gay communities knew her and loved her because she was so open and accepting. She felt fabulous, and she wanted everyone else to feel fabulous, too. In November of 1998, she had just returned from touring abroad and had loved the experience. She was feeling truly wonderful about her life. Then on November 28th, she was stabbed 20 times in her apartment and died. Her death came just weeks after the murder of Matthew Shepard in Wyoming, which finally started national outrage about hate crimes against gay people. The media, however, was almost entirely silent about Rita's murder, and the public was silent as well. The police never solved the case. A year later, Gwendolyn Ann Smith, an activist working on transgender issues, was disturbed about the violent deaths of transgender people and how quickly they were forgotten. She began to keep the names of the dead. In 1999, she held a vigil to commemorate Rita and others who'd been murdered by hate. Unfortunately, 20 years later, hate crimes against transgender people are still exceptionally high, especially among Black trans women. The American Medical Association has called it an epidemic. Over the past few years, hate acts have increased against the transgender community. So the vigils still happen each year. On November 20th, transgender people, those who love them and their allies, gather to mourn and remember the transgender people who have died in America in the last year by saying their names. They bear witness. They see, bringing and making people who are usually invisible, visible. Today, we will light candles and say the names of those who have died in the last year. Dana Martin, 31, Black transgender woman, killed in Montgomery, Alabama. Jazlyn Ware, 34, a Black transgender woman found dead in her Memphis apartment. Ashanti Carmen, 27, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in Prince George County, Maryland. Claire Legato, 21, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in Cleveland. Malaysia Booker, 23, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in Dallas. Michelle Washington, 40, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in Philadelphia. Paris Cameron, 20, a Black transgender woman, among three killed in an anti-LGBTQ shooting in Detroit. Chanel Lindsay, 26, a Black transgender woman, found dead in White Rock Lake, Dallas. Chanel Skurlock, 23, a Black transgender woman, fatally shot in Lumberton, North Carolina. Zoe Spears, 23, a Black transgender woman murdered in Fairmount Heights, Maryland. Brooklyn Lindsay, 32, a Black transgender woman found dead on the front porch of an abandoned home in Kansas City, Missouri. Denali Barry Stuckey, 29, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in North Charleston, South Carolina. Tracy Single, 22, a Black transgender woman killed in Houston. Bubba Walker, 55, a Black transgender woman killed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kiki Fantroy, 21, a Black transgender woman fatally shot in Miami. Jordan Coffer, 22, white transgender man among nine victims killed in a mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio. Pebbles Ladine Doe, 24, a Black transgender woman killed in Allendale County, South Carolina. Bailey Reeves, 17, a black transgender teen, fatally shot in Baltimore, Maryland. B. Love Slater, 23, a black transgender woman, murdered in Houston, Florida. Jamagio Jamar Berryman, a black gender nonconforming person, killed in Kansas City, Kansas. Atali Marlowe, 29, a black transgender woman, shot in Houston. Brianna B.B. Hill, 30, a black transgender woman, fatally shot in Kansas City. Let us take a moment of silence to honor those who have died.
This song moves to celebrate not just our successes, but prepare us for more and harder battles ahead of us. When we say that there will be better days, it is not a platitude and it is not speaking for granted. It is a rallying cry, an incantation, a spell that we cast. We mean to breathe the future into being.
There will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days.
There will be better days.
Let the wave wash over me.
There will be better days.
Let the wave wash over me.
There will be better days.
I am
there will be better days.
I'm finding it hard to speak after that experience. But I want to speak to murder. People experience hate and murder for something as ordinary as gender and how we express it. And it is shattering. Because the fact is, each person has a gender identity. And we feel that gender inside us. And some of us have felt that gender since our earliest childhood. And for others, the nature of that identity has shifted as we learn more about ourselves. We are all assigned gender at birth. And we are taught through our childhoods how to express that gender based on the rules of our culture. And for some people, that gender assigned at birth feels right and correct and matches their gender identity. And those people are cisgender, and I am cisgender. But for other people, the match is not right. Their gender identity is not what they were assigned at birth. It's not a good match. Perhaps they were assigned female, but their identity is as a man, or perhaps they were assigned male and feel neither like a man or a woman. Or perhaps they feel like both a man and a woman. And these people are transgender. And our culture has created really tight boxes around gender roles. People are taught from a very young age ways to act like a man or a woman. Men are supposed to be strong and not express emotions. Women are supposed to be helpful and not express anger. Men are supposed to dress in pants and shirts and more drab colors. And once, women could only wear dresses. Our culture, with its constrained gender roles, has really gotten the human experience wrong. First, human beings don't only come in two genders. Second, a look at babies' genitals gets gender wrong some of the time. Many cultures across the world and across time have accepted the truth that some people are not man or woman, but a third gender. They have accepted that the gender someone was assigned at birth might not be their real gender and allowed people to fluidly transition. Almost 5,000 years ago, transgender priests lived in Sumeria, and third gender people were living in Europe and America. Transfeminine people have lived in India, Thailand, and Arabia for thousands of years, and they do to this very day. History is full of people who insisted on not conforming to the gender that they were given at birth. And science now agrees with what cultures have long known, that there are ways our brains and bodies are that express gender, and there's many of them. Our culture is the culture of empire. Our culture was created to keep wealthy, powerful, straight, cis, white men in charge as they literally took over the world continent by continent. We call this culture white supremacist culture. We call it patriarchal. And it is what most every person in this room inherited if you grew up in the United States. We breathed it in at birth. And it's a mean-spirited culture. It demands perfection. It believes things are either or with nothing in between. The culture is set up to hoard power for those who have it. It demands that we each fit in a box with specific allowed behaviors by identity, whatever those are. And it assigns some people higher value than other people. Men have a higher value than women. People who have a gender identity outside the binary or contradicts their gender identity at birth have no value at all. The patriarchal white supremacist culture enforces the tools with bullying, social isolation, violence, and murder. Moving out of the boxes or struggling against the hierarchy is dangerous. We heard the litany of the names earlier. Living as a black trans woman is like having a target on your back. The American Medical Association has called these deaths a public health epidemic. Black, trans, woman, those are at the very bottom of the cultural hierarchy. If you live too boldly there, you can get shot. Our culture is controlling, and it lives in us. It teaches us how to control. However, it is really insidious in how it does this. We don't recognize the way we behave on the behalf of the rules of the larger culture. They're invisible to us because they were implanted so young in us. It just feels normal. One of the things it does is that when someone lower on the cultural hierarchy or someone who's in a box is trying to get out, people get afraid and they get really uncomfortable. Some people get really, really afraid and extremely uncomfortable, and they get violent. And the threat of violence keeps people down or in the box. Some people get uncomfortable, and so they get dismissive. Transgender people are discriminated against in jobs, education, housing. Families kick them out. The fear of discrimination and loss of loved ones keeps people down and in the box. Other people ignore when they get uncomfortable. Transgender people are not covered by the media, and their murders are not solved. They are not seen socially. The fear of not being seen keeps people down and in the box. Nice, white, liberal, cis people can get uncomfortable, too. We were taught the same hierarchical ladder and the same boxes as everyone else. In our congregation, we really want to be more loving. We want a more loving world where everyone experiences having worth and dignity and everyone is loved. So we are called to make sure all the boxes are broken. Transgender people have done most of the work getting out of gender boxes. But for the boxes to totally smash apart, cis people must see trans people as fully human and lovable. And that is how we begin to dismantle the patriarchy and build a culture of love. And I would like to invite Jay forward, who's going to share some with you. This is Jay Crook King. Somebody who comes to our congregation sometimes.
There's a lot of you, so I'm going to walk around so I'm not so nervous. Does this thing work?
Hello.
Cool. All right. Let's do this then. Hello. My name is Jay. My legal name is Jamie. And I think it's a rather gender-neutral name since I picked it out. Can you hear it? Okay, do I need to restart? No. Okay. Better? Cool. My dead name, or rather a name I was given, was Paula. Looks like an old lady name. I personally think it is. Alright, I have a question for you. Chelsea, you are not allowed to answer this question. Raise your hand if what you see is male. Cool. That's a good raise of hands. Okay. Raise your hand. Hold on. Raise your hand if you had no clue that I was born not a man. Thank you, hormones and surgery. All right. I'm here to speak to you today about gender awareness and the transgender community.
I've done a bit of research, and I've since learned that 41% of transgender folks will attempt suicide, which is 9 times higher than the national average. That's an alarming rate. Out of the entire LGBTQ spectrum, transgender people face more discrimination in the workplace and in healthcare, and are generally more subject to violence and others, and other sexual or otherwise. I'm here to tell you my story. I can't tell you how many times I've been discriminated for my skin type, my sexual orientation, and my gender identity. I've heard all the remarks, "Well, you don't look like a man," from customers. I've actually lost a job because I did not fit their team dynamic. When the day before I had announced, or rather said, I am transgender, I need to go be seen by a doctor, and I got fired the next day. Here's another story. About 6 weeks ago, I fractured my back. I had to go to urgent care. I told the nurse that I had injured my back, and I had numbness in my left leg, and the nurse in the office read my chart, which is something that they should be doing. You should be knowing who you're taking care of. And in my chart, they saw male to female. She read an email thread about 2 years ago that was written because I was more so curious. My wife and I were trying to have a baby, and we weren't successful. So in this case, I was going to give it a go if my wife could not get pregnant. And he was the greatest doctor. He's like, "Oh, I'll refer you to OHSU. It'll be good." Mind you, this was written 2 years ago, and then 6 months ago, I wrote a message back to my doctor saying, "Never mind, we're pregnant. We're good to go." Okay. The nurse could see that I don't have a menstrual cycle due to hormone replacement surgery, but with a fractured back and a brown paper bag in hand, she made me walk across the urgent care to leave a urine sample to rule out pregnancy. I was given an ultimatum. They wouldn't x-ray me provide me with medical pain medication unless they were sure I wasn't pregnant. A few minutes later, after being subject to unnecessary testing that I would later have a bill for, I heard the nurse say, we can proceed with your care. Turns out you're not pregnant. Well, duh. I mean, come on. My wife was furious, but I learned to let it go. I learned that I just need to know that in my head they were trying to help. And they were trying to give me the best care that they knew how to give. But healthcare and we as a society still have a long ways to go. Trans people just want to be used in the public restroom. They want to serve the country if that's what they feel called to. Go to work and do their jobs without feeling like we have to walk on eggshells or hide who we are. We want to be recognized for who we are and not what parts we may or may not have. That night, I had a moment of awareness. It became very clear to me that being trans, married to a bisexual, cisgendered woman, was in fact not the actual problem. My problem was that for a long time, I could only see in black and white, like many other people do. I used to let transphobic marks, loss of jobs, and overall hate for myself for who I was. But then I started asking instead of telling myself how to feel. What happened if you stopped convincing yourself that there was a right and wrong way? More therapy, more wine, and the answer became quite clear. When we live our lives in love, life is worth living. Love has no limitations. When I began to love with my heart and not with my head, sorry, I turned the page too quick. I let all of that go. This year, my wife and I will be celebrating my 4-year anniversary and our 5-year wedding anniversary. Thank you. My ability to realize life that is true to who I am and the courage to actually live is amazing feeling. I lean on the inspiration when I'm asked, so what does this transition mean for you? Are you straight now? The answer is, I'm in love, and that's the box I check, and that's the flag I fly. Little do you know, I have a little boy on the way. He's due in February, and I am going to teach him everything about kindness, because that's what we need to know. Potty training, I don't know how that's going to go. But I can at least tell him how to be a good human being, how to love, how to accept, and how to just love. That's all you need. All right, I'm Jamie. Jay. Bye.
Love has no limitations. Love pays attention. Love recognizes others with one's heart. Cis people are called to walk through the discomfort we inherit from our culture and greet transgender people with love. That is when all the boxes crumble, when love is the only thing that we have. But it's going to be a little work. When nice, white, liberal, cis people get uncomfortable, despite our very, very best intentions, because I know everyone has the best intentions, we do things that keep those boxes intact. Our culture is so strong. It's just how things are. So, here's some things, according to transgender people I interviewed, that we do. We ignore transgender people. We get pronouns wrong repeatedly. If we get them wrong, we apologize profusely over and over, making the transgender person responsible for our guilt at messing up. We become extremely interested, not in the person, but in their gender identity, asking personal questions about surgery or hormones and wondering about their previous names or could they see a picture of what they looked like before? Start talking about well-known trans women like Laverne Cox and Caitlyn Jenner only in terms of how well they pass or how real they look, making it sound like the commentator sees them actually as a man. Define transgender people by their transness instead of simply as a man or a woman. So you say man or woman instead of trans man, trans woman. So our discomfort plays out either as ignoring or as an intense curiosity about something we don't understand very well. And it makes transgender people feel like they're the other. They're different. They're strange. And what we are called to do in our congregation is to see all people as fully human. Our congregation has done some really helpful things for transgender and the gender nonconforming people in our community and people who visit. We have gender neutral bathrooms, which is really helpful. We have pronoun tags for our name tags so that you don't really need to ask people's gender, you can just see it. And if you don't have a pronoun tag on your name tag, you can get them right out in the foyer. So I really recommend people have those. And we have a partnership with the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center. So what else can we do? We can learn more about what it means to be transgender on our own. So the people we meet don't have to necessarily be our educators, because that's a lot of work. We can pay attention to pronouns. And we can apologize if we get them wrong quickly and move on. We can welcome transgender people just like we welcome cisgender people. When we meet a man, we don't discuss his gender early in our relationship. We don't tell the man how manly he looks. We don't ask whether he's been circumcised or had a vasectomy. In fact, when we meet a cisgender person, we don't talk about gender at all, unless perhaps we compliment someone on their clothing or hair, which is absolutely fine with transgender people, too. Pretty much every single person wants to know their hair looks great. However, here's the deal. You don't want to tell a trans woman that her hair looks just like a woman's, implying that it really isn't woman's hair. Instead, we might just say, generally, hey, that looks great. That works for everyone, cis and trans alike. So talk to transgender people just like cisgender people. Don't put the identity as a center part piece of the conversation, like, why are we at church? How do we spend our time? Where do we live? What work do we do? What are our interests? How's the weather? How cute are those children running around the coffee area? Or how obnoxious those children are running around the coffee area? Whatever your theme is on that. But here is what I really know. If you're cisgender and no one in your family or your best friend is transgender, there is a significant chance that everything I just said has made you more uncomfortable than you already were. And that's when the ignoring strategy, for anybody who's different at all, looks like a pretty good way to go, which I think we're great at. But that's how we keep the boxes are. That isn't how we spread the loving community. Because guess what? We're all going to mess up, really, with everybody. With transgender people, with cisgender people, with people of different races. We're going to mess up. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. That's what our culture teaches us, actually. They teach us that if we mess up, we're bad. And so we never want to be bad. So we kind of distance ourselves from stuff. But the only way we're going to be a more loving world is if we get really okay with being uncomfortable and messing up and then feeling that embarrassment of messing up and just being okay and loving ourselves anyway. That's the only way we're going to get through all this. So all this discomfort is totally normal. We grew up with gender boxes. They were poured into us from birth. I mean, we have pink and blue, like, from the beginning. I think it's probably the first color you see is the color you're supposed to get because you got a blanket or something that's the right color. Anyways, and we are told this is how you are a boy and this is how you are a girl. And everything else is wrong about how to be a person. And we grew up with perfection, that you have to be right to be a good person. This is an incredible burden on us. It is not love, and it's not loving towards ourselves to have to be perfect and get everything right. It pulls us inside ourselves, and it also makes us defensive when we mess up, because that mess up happens, and you feel embarrassed, and then you want to defend yourself. Like, I didn't mean it, you know. Apologize 14 times for getting the gender wrong. I'm a good person. You're just a good person. That's just it. You don't need to do things perfectly to be good. Because what it really does is it shuts us away from love, from our love and our ability to love others. So the good news is the gender boxes and that need to be perfect aren't real. Our culture lies to us. What is absolutely true and what is central to our faith as Unitarian Universalists is love. And if you walk through discomfort with love, it's really going to be okay. If you mess up with love, it's going to be okay. It's love. Giving someone real, genuine attention with the blessing of your heart that matters. It's all that matters. All any of us really want is to be loving, kind, is to have loving, kind, gentle attention from another person. That's all anybody wants, and each of us is absolutely able to offer that to other people. Our discomfort keeps the boxes in place, and when our discomfort leads us to ignore someone or hyper-focus on someone's outside-of-the-box identity, we end up affirming the rightness of the boxes. As loving people, as Unitarian Universalists, we are called to walk through discomfort into relationship. Through love, we will break boxes and ladders, and each person will have worth and dignity, and we will experience the joy of people loving people as it bursts brightly across the sky. Amen. All any of us really want is a loving, kind, gentle attention from another person. Let us go forth and offer that attention to a hurting world.